Welcome once again to Learning Digital Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Anderson, and with me on the show for episode number 58 is the venerable Kerry Garrison of Camera Dojo and Kerry Garrison Photography. Kerry, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jason.
Always good to have you on. We tend to ramble, but we're going to try not to ramble this week because we're going to be hitting on an important topic.
Oh, You ramble.
I do ramble. Let's be real. That's right. I think we all have a tendency to ramble, though, so I will admit to my
rambling.
If you admit to yours. Anyway, the important topic that I wanted to bring up with Kerry on the show at this time is posing. We always talk about posing our subjects, but I've seen a lot of people that really just walk into it and don't have a good grasp on the fundamentals, and they try and establish a good rapport. And a good rapport is all helpful, but if you don't have someone who's trained, a professional model that knows how to position his or her head and their body, it can be challenging to try and explain it to them how you want them to position themselves so that you get the kind of shot that you want. And I've talked on the blog in the past about posing someone's head and how you can guide them with your hand to point them to go from left to right, up and down, and angle their head. But Kerry's a master at this, so I wanted to get him on the show to talk more about the details of how to pose someone when you're doing full body shots, because you're not always going to be doing just head shots. What do you do with people's arms? What do you do with their legs? Do you have two hands crossed? Do you hold them behind the back? All sorts of questions. And Kerry, I wanted to bring you in right away, so if you wanted to jump in and start talking about how is it that you initially approach models when you're setting up, whether experienced or inexperienced, in getting their body positioned the way you want them. Do you actually lay hands on them? Do you try and talk them through it? What do you do when you start setting up
a
model?
It depends on if my wife is there or not. But No, I kid.
We all kid.
Well, I'll tell you, when we're dealing with like wedding posing, that we're trying to be a lot more natural, kind of laying it flow. I'll give real subtle changes, you know, can you bring your chin down just a hair, you know, just kind of keep things like shine down, dealing with glasses, the basic things. But then when we're dealing with more of the, like the professional headshots or dealing with models and we're doing fashion, that's a whole different ball game. And that's where posing can be a challenge for a lot of new people. And there's some really cool hints that hopefully that I can share with everybody that's going to make this go a whole lot smoother. Now, the first thing you should do is go spend a bunch of money at Barnes & Noble and buy a bunch of fashion magazines. And
that's actually a good suggestion.
I swear I got the funniest looks because I walked out of there with about $60 worth of Vogue and Cosmo and, you know, every, you know, top fashion magazine, and I just did this all in one shot. I just grabbed this big pile of them, and I did put a Popular Photography on top, just, you know, for image, right? And I checked them out.
I still read that magazine, man. I like Popular Photography.
And what I did was I came home, and I started pulling the pages out and started creating piles on my floor of the different styles of poses. And when you really get right down to it, there's really only about six or seven poses that are used over and over and over and over and over again. So if you can master those poses and be able to convey that to somebody, you're 90% of the way there. And that's a heck of a good start.
It's a huge advantage, especially if you're, I think you make a great point about getting started, not deviating from what we know works.
Right. So take these, once you have your piles done, and we can kind of go through and talk about some of the different ones so you know what to look for.
Sure.
But I would say take maybe three examples of each one and either scan it or take a picture of it and put it on your smartphone or your tablet, whatever you have, so that when you're working with somebody, you can actually just flip through them and say, I want you to do this.
Smart.
You know, or at least you're looking at it, and then you try and convey that to somebody. But when you can show somebody a picture and say, I want you to do this, you know, here's three different versions, make one of these your own, you know, kind of go for it. And they'll go, oh, okay. So create kind of your little lookbook slash cheat sheet, whatever you want to call it, but do it on your phone or your tablet using tear outs from fashion magazines.
That's a fantastic idea. I love that idea. And Carrie had actually shared with me before the show some, I guess, inside scoop, whatever you want to call it, a presentation he did with his local photo club where he showed these different types of body positions. And it's spot on, because when you see these scans that he did, it's like, yeah, I've seen that in every magazine. It's like you don't realize it until it's actually someone's connected the dots for you. Like that first one, Carrie, that you showed me about the S-curve.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you talk about that a little? Because that really just, I think that just hit the light bulb for me too.
So one of the first things you want to tell somebody is, if you have a joint, bend it. There you go. And if you start with that and then put them in their whole body so that it forms an S-curve, you're going to have a fairly attractive look. You're going to have one leg that's prominent, that all the weight's going on. The other leg can either be close or spread out a little bit or lifted up or something. They're going to be putting all their weight on one leg with one hip pushed out, the body tilted so it forms part of the S, and then the arms curved over with the top of their body, and they can be playing with their hair. They can have their arms up, you know, up high. They can do all kinds of things. But when you look at the basic shape, that's going to form an S. And you will see this in everything from swimsuits, a lot of swimsuits, I'll give you this one, but you'll see it in all kinds of fashion things, because it's just a very simple look that someone can pull off. So that's, again, the body's in an S position with one shoulder tilted towards the extended hip. So if the hip is pushed out to the right shoulder is tilted towards that hip.
So, and here's a question for you. Would you say that rule applies more to women, men, or both?
That's going to be mostly a feminine look to it.
Okay.
Guys don't tend to push their hips out. They tend to be a little more straight, and that's going to be a more masculine look. The S-curve is certainly a feminine look.
Okay. Great. That's fantastic. Do you want to hit on the other ones as well?
Yeah.
What'd you say? There were like six or seven in here,
yeah,
right?
Somewhere like that. So the next one that, again, you're going to see all over the place. And probably these first two or three, they were the biggest piles. And like I said, I probably pulled four or five different magazines. And when you start putting together the piles and you really then see how many times that a particular pose is used over and over and over again, it really hits you that this can work in a number of different situations. Mm-hmm. So the second one is what I dubbed the naked shoulder. And that's pretty much what it is. If there is a shoulder that it's not covered, so the bare shoulder is there, turn the subject's face towards that shoulder so that the shoulder's painting, shoulder is pointed towards the camera and they're looking that same direction towards the camera. So it's usually a frontal view of the face looking at the camera with the shoulder pointed at the camera. And you'll see this again in swimsuits, in fashion, in glamour shots, all kinds of different things use this naked shoulder look. Again, it's a very feminine look. It's a very soft look. And it's pretty simple. And the face can either be full frontal or sometimes up to a two-third, but usually it's a full frontal look.
Right. Yeah. So that's two there. For those of you that are taking notes or trying to take notes, I'll give a quick little insider hint here. You don't have to be taking notes during all this. Just kind of listen and absorb it, because there will be show notes that go up on the blog post to include the bullet points that we're talking about here. So the first one, like Kara was saying, was the S. The second one's the naked shoulder. Don't worry about writing them down. We're going to post all these up on the blog for the show notes, where you can get all the details and all the information. So just sit back, enjoy, and we'll go through each of these positions for you. Kara, you had mentioned the S-curve and the naked shoulder. Do you have any quick tips or suggestions for how to pose guys as opposed to gals out there?
Like, guys, generally body forward or up to a two-thirds angle of their upper body, and same with the face. You usually don't go too far over with the face. They're usually a lot straighter on, because it's it tends to be a more masculine look. Also with the lighting, you're going to tend to put harsher shadows on men than you do women. With women, you want to soften that up. You want more of that creamy texture to it. With guys, this is generalization.
Sure. It's always going to be generalizations. I think everyone knows that.
There's a time and a place for both, right? But generally, you're going to want to really show the shadows, because it's going to show the features of the face. It's going to show the nose. It's going to show make the hair on the face stand out a little bit more. Where with women, that softer light, any soft hair is going to disappear. Any blemishes are going to disappear easier. Men, you typically show those things. So the more light you have coming from the side to enhance those little details with shadow, that's going to pull those features out in guys, make them look a little rougher.
Right. Yeah, so that was the first two then for women, and then you mentioned the guys there. The fourth one.
Yeah, since we're on guys for a moment.
Go ahead.
No fig leaves, okay? No fig leaves, anybody. And that's with the two hands covering their private parts. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's so 70s, okay? We call it the fig leaf. Don't do it, all right? Put them to the side. Put a hand in a pocket, with the thumb out or the thumb in with the hand out. They're doing something with their hands, versus covering their private parts. That's no good.
Right. I know that a popular one that I see a lot in today's day and age is guys leaning forward with their hand, actually with their chin, resting in their hand.
Yeah.
That seems to be a fairly popular one, because that also puts them in the forward position, too.
How often do you do that move naturally?
All the time, actually.
Okay, then. Usually it's a face palm with me, but that's, it doesn't make for a good image.
It's a face palm with you. Sorry, I'm digressing.
Pulling my hair out or something.
I'm digressing. Let's go back to the posing shots for women, because I think most of the people interested are also going to want to hear about the additional poses here. The next one you mentioned in that tutorial you shared with me was the full back.
Yeah, now the full back is kind of an extension of the naked shoulder, because you still have a naked shoulder, but now you also have generally a naked back, either straps that are showing the back off, or just nothing on the back, or the back of a swimsuit or something. And now the bare back is lit with one side of the face with the front of the body in shadow. So we've got our light on the person's back and the face, and we have shadow on the front of the body, if that makes sense. And again, this is a very soft thing. We see this a lot for skin, health, cologne, perfume, things like that, just because it's a very subtle look. But you're also not usually selling a piece of clothing or a piece of jewelry like that, because you're not seeing it.
Right.
So we want to be subtle about what we're showing, and therefore this full back is usually a really good shot for something like that.
Now, the thing I've noticed when I've seen a lot of full back type of shots, and when I've tried to implement them on my own, I've noticed that it works better when the head is partially at an angle. So it's not a full frontal view of the person's face, where their face is tilted more to an angle, where it's like you see half of it, and I think you mentioned this, you said the other half is in shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, is there generally a way, like, should the head be curved, angled toward the back or toward the front?
Actually,
of the body, is there a way that works better?
I like positioning the face exactly the same way as the naked shoulder, but then
moving the
camera position around to the back. Their head doesn't move. Their nose is generally aligned with their shoulder, just like the naked shoulder. But then their eyes look at you. Behind them a little bit, and
they're looking toward their back, but their face is in line with their shoulder.
Right, that's really going to make the whites of their eyes pop, and it's going to help hide that other side of the face and the front. So it's really the same as the naked shoulder, but the camera position is moved and the light is moved a little bit.
Oh, so that's actually a great tip, because that means if you're doing a naked shoulder shot, you could actually be telling your model, hold that position, I'm going to move just a little bit, and I want just your eyes to follow me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that way you don't have to worry about the model doing anything other than looking at you.
Right. The more they can stay the same and you move to get the shot, the better off you are.
Right. So that's another great tip there. Awesome, awesome. So we're through three of them. We did those first three. Let's go through that knee in and knee out one at the same time.
Yeah, because these are those first ones are generally, the S-curve is often a full body shot. Sometimes right. It's just a two-thirds or even a half body shot. A lot of times you will see that one as a full body. These next ones are almost always full body shots because we see the legs. And right. That's an important point. And this is where a lot of people struggle, is when they're trying to do full body shots and getting the legs to look right. Either people are too stiff or the legs are too close together or they're too far apart. And usually it's just a simple matter of turning the knee in or turning the knee out. And we're going to have one knee or one leg straight, the toes facing right towards the camera. That's where they're going to put their weight. And the other knee is turned towards the other leg. Now, the feet can either be right next to each other or they can be separated a little bit. It doesn't matter. Just it kind of depends on what you're trying to do. But that knee is turned, and they're often just kind of stepping on the ball of your foot, you know, right. Or if they're in heels or something, they've got a little curve to it or something. But all of the weight is on that straight leg with the knee turned in.
It's almost like it's its own S in a way. It's kind of like a modification of the S curve.
Well, and when you look at these full body shots, they do tend to create an S curve.
There's a little bit of one.
You've got a curve in the leg, and then you have it almost forces the body to do a turn. The opposite of that is the knee out, and it's exactly what it sounds like. The exact same thing, that one leg has all the weight on it, but the knee is turned out, so away from the other leg. And generally the only way to do that is to lift the heel of the leg that's bent, and that's going to force the body into a different angle. It's not really an S curve. It's kind of the opposite of that.
It's like an inverse S, if you want to call it that. I don't know if that's the way to call it, but and if you go to, I think what Kerry's suggesting here from the very beginning is to go out and actually get a couple magazines yourself, because we can explain these until the cows come home and try and express it to you verbally. But because so much of this is visual, where you kind of have to see it, it really would be a good idea, even if you go out and get one or two or even three magazines, that should give you ample material. And magazines are cheap. I mean, you can get them for $2 or $3 for a single issue. Get one issue of three different magazines and flip through. And make sure they're women's magazines, because if you get a PC magazine, you're probably not going to see too many posed models.
Also get GQ. And Vogue for Men.
I was thinking more get like magazines with people as opposed to
absolutely, but not geared towards things tech. Like People magazine. You want the fashion magazines,
right?
And these can be applied to weddings and engagements and everything else, depending on what you're trying to accomplish.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Depending on the clothing and the lighting and the situation, these can either look really, really formal or they can look very, very casual.
Right. So great point. Now, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
The next one is kind of an exaggeration of the knee out, and this is taking that leg that's bent with the knee out and mm-hmm. putting that foot on top of something, so that bent leg is stepping up onto something, a platform, an object, or lifted up in some way that it lifts that leg up, which is going to force the body forward and create another curve to it. So again, all of these, almost every joint is bent. Everything is, there's a bend in everything.
Yep. And
you'll see that as a very consistent theme when you're looking at fashion images.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to make, as you're seeing these angles and these lines, because when you think about composition in general, even if you're talking about, regardless of whether you're talking about model photography or portrait photography or landscape photography or anything, there's always going to be some elements of composition. When your subject is a person, the composition is how that person is posed. And, you know, we've talked in the past on the show about leading lines and guiding the viewer through the image. And the same holds true whether you're talking about a landscape versus a person. You kind of have to guide the person through the image, and the only way you can guide them through to see all of your model is to put those lines and those angles there so people can see, you know, look at this beautiful model, you know, showing off this great outfit for Calvin Klein or whoever.
And now the one thing that you will see throughout all of these different poses, and even do this as a practice, once you have your images done and picked out and you've got them shot or whatever for your phone or your tablet, go through and start, take a pen or a highlighter or something and see how many V's you get. And you will find all of these poses are full of V's. The arms form a V, the hips form a V, the knees form a V. There's V's everywhere. And keep that in mind and look for those angles. And that you'll see very quickly that something that doesn't have those is not as pleasing to the eye as the images that do have a number of these different V shapes in them.
Absolutely. We love our curves for a reason. You know, it's because it's visually appealing. So make sure you're following that. That's a fantastic tip.
Now,
and we've got two more? Three more?
Yeah. I mean, since we kind of are talking about Vs in terms of the body shapes, also look at Vs in terms of framing. Now, this can be a V-neck shirt. It can be the hair brought around to be in a V shape. It can be the arms in such a way that it creates a V shape that is framing the face.
Right.
Those Vs, I can't stress enough how powerful those V shapes are, not just in the shape of the body, but also in terms of using those as framing devices. Mm-hmm. So look for those things, those types of things when you're going through these.
Can I interrupt for one second?
Absolutely.
On the Vs, in looking through this thing that you gave me before the show, I'm also noticing a lot of these backgrounds have similar, I guess, ideas implemented in them as well, where there's shapes and lines or Vs or, you know, however you're trying to frame things, that you're seeing that in the background too. Like, I'm looking at this one slide that you gave me on balance, and it's the third shot over, and I don't know if we should be sharing this or not with the public at large, so to speak, but that one shot, there's shapes everywhere. I mean, it's just square, triangle, square, V, you know, all these different angles, and I think that really adds to the actual effect of the shot. So I guess my question when it comes to posing models, how important is it to make sure that the background is, I guess, complementing the subject matter?
Well, you know, as you just said, shapes and lines play in very heavily to the overall visual image. And it should complement what you're trying to do, certainly. But we'll see a lot of those topics that you've talked about today and that you've talked about in other shows. Leading lines, you know, very big. Repeating patterns, very big.
Right.
Things that add balance to the overall scene. Things that are used as framing devices. All of those things are very, very standard, and they help draw the eye towards what you're looking at. Now, once in a while, they'll break the rules, and the brightest spot in the image is not where you would generally want your eye to be going to. But, I mean, that's photography, right? I mean,
Right. These
are general guidelines. They're not always rules. And sometimes you can break the rules and still have a very effective shot. But again, it comes down to balance. And even though I know you're probably going to get people that ask to share this presentation, the problem is these were all shots that were ripped out of magazines. So I don't think we can just simply because of copyright issues.
That's why I was like, I don't know if we can. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, the best suggestion I can have for everyone that's listening is, even if you can't afford to do three, at least go out and get one, whether it's GQ or Vogue or, you know, pick a magazine. Even if it's only one, you'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be pretty evident across the board.
And so. I put together a pretty nice collection of sample images in one day I think I actually bought 3 or 4 magazines, mm-hmm. and that was it. Yeah. I mean, and between those, I had enough images that I had at least 3 examples of every situation.
Yep.
And I didn't need to go spend $100 on magazines or go for months and months and months trying to collect them. I really did it in one pretty quick book stop. And I thumbed through a few of them. I don't know which ones to pick, right? So, right. You know, I thumbed through them. And you're looking for the ads. You know, you want to look at the ads. And okay. Which ones have the most ads in them? Grab a couple of those. You know, like Jason said, you're going to drop, you know, between $250 and $350, you know, depending on the magazine. Some of these are huge. But I found some of them that were really expensive. Like, there was like $7, $8 magazines. They didn't have any images in them. I mean, they had more articles and things like that. They didn't have good ads to show what I really wanted. I had the best luck with Vogue, Cosmopolitan. I can't remember now. I should have kept the covers.
Vogue, Cosmo. Well, GQ would probably apply if you were in...
GQ and Vogue for men are awesome.
Yeah.
I don't like going for the health ones because that's a very specific type of shooting, especially with the lighting. You have very dramatic lighting and things. But the fashion ones are great because you can apply those to weddings and things like that as well.
Sure.
So we kind of...
There were 2 other ones that you had here that were specific poses or framing methods for models. Can you go into a little more detail on how beneficial it is to have balance?
Balance, I think, is huge. And by balance, we mean if something is leaning one direction, there needs to be something leaning in the opposite direction. The S-curve pulls that off beautifully because you have the hips going one way, you have the shoulders going one way, and the whole body feels like it has balance. If you've got a leg kicked up one way, you need something to balance it off the other. You don't want people to look like they're about to fall over. Or in your mind go, if that keeps going, someone's going to fall. Even though they may not, it's just your brain will think that there's something awkward about a shot. And generally, we don't want people leaning. But if they're leaning against something that looks strong, well, then you can pull that off because you have the balance of a wall or a column or something like that. So it is very important to have balance. And you'll see that again, especially when there's 2 people in a particular ad, that they'll be leaning in opposite directions, or when it's men and women, they'll be intertwined in such a way that you'll have this kind of yin-yang type of balance thing going on that it doesn't look like one side of it is heavier than the other, because that's where your eye will kind of fall. Just like when you have a very bright spot in the image, your eye tends to go to the bright spot in the image. Well, it also tends to go where the most weight in the image is.
Where it's leaning to. Yeah. The term I remember from the art classes I took in college was counterpoint.
Yeah.
So if a body is leaning in a particular direction, you need that counterpoint there because the eyes are going to be going towards where that's pointing to. So it's a counterpoint.
Yeah. Think of it this way. If a woman is showing like a large purse, okay, well, I know my wife's, and it's, you know, heavier than the weights I lift at the gym, and what you're going to have is the other arm out in, you know, out on the hip with it extended out some way or something so that the body is now balanced again.
Yeah. That's a fantastic point. That's why I wanted to, you know, go into a little more detail on the subject of balance, because it's not just a matter of having balance and composition. It's a matter of making sure you balance things out by having that counterpoint there. Because that's something that can very easily be missed. So thank you. That's awesome. Last one we had for this show. This is kind of a rapid-fire show we're going on here. We got through this pretty quick. The last one was the pelvic roll. Can you talk a little bit more about that one?
Yeah, and I've seen this a lot where people are shooting models that are laying down or sitting with maybe the legs out on a stool or something, and the shots, they're not happy with the shots. And it's because the body needs to roll. Otherwise, you're not seeing all the detail. So if someone is laying down, you just take their pelvis and roll it towards the camera slightly. The back stays the same, but the pelvis rolls, you know, or the hips roll slightly towards the camera. It adds to the curves.
Yeah.
You'll get more of those S's, some more V's in there. I mean, not me. You'll kind of get a bulge if you do that, but I'm working on it.
It probably wouldn't be a good pose for, like, if you were doing a maternity shoot, in other words.
Well, you know, and it depends, because it can minimize size, because now you'll have a flat, areas towards the camera, versus if it's straight up, it'll accentuate the bump.
Right. So just, I wish I'd thought about that before my last maternity shoot. That's an interesting point.
So it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. If you're trying to make someone look thinner, you know, you don't want shadows, and you want that bulk towards the camera. So again, right, you can roll it and make someone who doesn't necessarily have super tight abs look like they've got tighter abs. But even if they're wearing clothes, it's going to be a lot more effective, because even with clothes, if both of those legs are down and you're shooting from the side, it can look like their back leg is coming out of nowhere. If they roll that hip towards the camera, then you see where that leg is attached, and it's not as awkward.
Right. Yeah, it's fantastic. That is awesome. So, Kerry, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about these different posing techniques for when you're doing full body shots and these fashion-type positions. I know it's going to open a lot of eyes for a lot of the listeners. I do appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you have a couple other things going on, so I'm going to open up a little and let you tell the viewers a little bit more about this new workshop that's coming up.
Oh, man, we've got a workshop that just got postponed a little bit because we just had too many things going on and some new projects going on. But Jason and I, we do the Nation's Photo Lab Live Learning.
The Live Learning Lab webinar at Nation's Photo Lab, where we talk about a lot of photography stuff. Our last show will have just aired. We're going to do a show on lighting accessories. It's coming up Wednesday the 18th. So I know this is going to get posted after the 18th, but there was that show that happened just probably last week by the time you're listening to this. And we have other shows coming up. It's the third Wednesday of every month. So do stop in on there. We post links up usually a day or two, probably 3 days in advance sometimes if we're that well managed. usually it's a day or two in advance. We'll post them up on Twitter and on Facebook, so check out both our pages there to get info about that. But the one I wanted to ask you about was this new lighting one. What's going on with that?
Well,
that looks like that'd be fun.
The lighting workshop, we had that scheduled for the beginning of June, but we just decided to push it back a little bit just because of schedules, namely because I'm on a very tight deadline. As I'm the author of the Canon Speed Lighting System Digital Field Guide 3rd Edition. That's a mouthful.
Yay!
And that's with Wiley Publishing. This book has been around for a number of years, and every so often they ask somebody to go through, update it with current information, more updated images, you know, modern techniques, and things like that, and they asked me if I would do it this time, and I said sure. So we've got the Canon Speed Lighting System Digital Field Guide 3rd Edition by Wiley Publishing coming out soon.
That should be out before the holidays, too.
I should just use the initials or something. We're expecting that to be on the shelf sometime around October. That's going to be followed up by another more of a general lighting book. We've got the lighting workshop here in Southern California that I think we're going to push that out now to July or August. And CameraDojo.com, where I'm posting stuff all the time, how-tos, tips, product reviews, all kinds of things like that.
Kerry is probably one of the better educated photographers when it comes to all these types of topics that we're talking about, whether it's lighting or posing or wedding photography or model photography. I mean, he's been my go-to resource if I've ever had a question about anything. So if you want to learn more about the sources that I learned from, definitely head on over to Carrie's website. Like you said, it's cameradojo.com. We'll throw some links up there. You also still have the product sales going on, don't you?
Over at Black Belt Lighting. We got the lighting products, the YN560 flashes, the wireless triggers. Those sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got product sales going on. He's got the articles that come out on Camera Dojo. He's got workshops coming out in Southern California. So if you're in the SoCal area, definitely make sure you stop over and check him out. I'm going to try and get him out here to Denver for some lighting workshops in the Colorado area, too, so I can attend.
Well, I think we're going to try and pull that off in October, because I'm going to be in Denver for a week in October anyway. So,
I know about that. That's right.
Yeah, we're going to see if we can pull something together out there.
So we'll definitely keep you in the loop when we get closer to that date with more details, both here on the podcast, like Kara said, over at Camera Dojo, over at Black Belt Lighting. Do also check out his work. He publishes a lot of work over at CarrieGarrisonPhotography.com, I think.
CarrieGarrison.com.
Oh, CarrieGarrison.com. We'll throw all these links up in the show notes. So it's a lot of good information. Carrie, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this information on posing. I know it's going to be hugely helpful for a lot of people, myself included. We had meant to do this before I went on vacation a couple weeks ago, and our schedules just really got so busy right when that was happening. It got postponed, so apologies for that.
Just get out there, buy those magazines.
Yep.
You'll be surprised how easily the pages actually pull apart.
Because the glue is cheap in those magazines.
And just make your piles. Your wife may think you're insane, or your husband may think you're insane, but do this little bit of homework, mm-hmm. and what you will gain from that is absolutely huge.
Yep, and I tell you that I can't agree more with that, because coming from an education background where I used to actually be in a graduate program to teach, the best way to learn is to educate yourself. Do some research. Study what has worked for others, because what's worked for others likely will work for you if you can figure out the basics and the fundamentals. And some of the fundamentals of posing that Carrie talked about here, you'll see immediately what he's talking about if you just go out and get a couple magazines. Definitely agree with that. So again, Carrie, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show, this latest edition of the Learning Digital Photography Podcast. We will catch you next time. Thanks again, Carrie.
Thank you.
Bye.